Welcome to E-Commerce Matters. E-Commerce Matters is the world's leading e-commerce pricing podcast brought to you by Black Curve. Each episode explores how retailers can better understand competitor pricing and use pricing insights to improve Google shopping performance. This is episode 54, entitled Cracking the Code of Google Shopping Pricing. I'm Philip Huthwaite, founder and CEO at Black Curve. I'm joined as ever by Dr. Rob Horton, Chief Product Officer at Black Curve. Let's get pricing. Welcome, Rob. We're code breaking again for the second time in quick succession. Have you been practicing your puzzles?
I have. I've been still doing the duo trigordal, the 32 wordles at once, mate. I'm all over it.
You still haven't shown me that. You have to show me that afterwards, or I will at least endeavour to look at it over the weekend.
I'll send you the link. It's good. It's good. It's for those who the wordles are not quite enough.
Well, I don't know. I mean, one word all day is enough for me, if I'm honest. Yeah. I've had to mute so many people on WhatsApp that are still sending their Wordle screenshot.
Oh, really? Yeah. Holy moly. I don't know. No, I'm out of that. I'm onto the new stuff.
Goodness. Well, maybe what I'll do is I'll unmute them and then send them the link that you have shared with me and said, this is old news.
Time to up their game.
Have you purchased anything online since we last spoke?
Yeah, I was thinking about this. I'm going to a wedding in Lisbon next week, so I've been buying bits for that. I bought a new suit for a brand I found online. That's good. It's a brand called Percival. Would recommend. They're really nice. They were online only, but they also have a Soho pop-up now. So that's what I was doing. And completely the other end of the spectrum and shouldn't be mixed, San Marzano tomatoes. So I can make great pasta sauces.
Very, very opposite ends of the spectrum. Well, you did tell me what colour the suit was the other day, so maybe don't get the tomatoes out.
Yeah, they're not. I'm a bit worried about it, but oh well, we'll see.
I hope you've forgiven me, because yesterday when you told me the colour, I said, so does that mean it's beige then? And I sort of felt very bad because that doesn't describe it as beige is not.
What do they call it? Nude or natural? But yeah, it's. It is beige, you and me. Nice though.
Natural sounds much, much classier.
Yeah,
doesn't
it's all about the branding, isn't it? You know that.
It's all about how you spin it. Right. Enough of our wittering. So let's get cracking with today's podcast, which has got cracking in the title. So today we're cracking the code of Google Shopping pricing. Last episode, we cracked the code of Google Shopping visibility. And this is, I guess, the next stepping stone in the journey to optimizing Google Shopping performance. So, you know, first stage, if people can't buy from you, if people can't find you, they're not going to be able to buy from you. And then the next stage is, once they've found you, what can you optimize to get that conversion, to get that click through, to get that checkout at basket? And Black Curve, we're pricing experts, so what we're looking at today is cracking that pricing element of Google Shopping. Okay, so we will cover a few bits and pieces. We will look at where do prices appear on Google Shopping. So where are the different parts of the page that prices appear? How does your price sit relative to other retailers selling your price on Google Shopping? We will look at why is pricing important on Google Shopping, right? Why should you care about price as a data point to optimize? And then it wouldn't be Black Curve unless we encouraged you to check out our technology, because we recently announced in August that we had launched a free version of Black Curve that not only helps you identify, do I have a visibility issue? Okay, but it also helps you identify, do I have a price competitiveness issue? And again, it's completely free and we'll give you a score, but more on that later. So stand by your beds, people. You ready to get going? Ready to get cracking, yeah. Rob?
Yeah, I'm excited.
Well, let's get cracking. So let's summarize from a Google Shopping perspective. So we should all be familiar, hopefully, now about Google Shopping. Okay. So I thought let's start by just setting the scene of where do prices appear on Google Shopping? If you could take listeners through that, Rob, please.
Well, I should I do? You wrote the blog on it, Philip. So,
well, that was a good tennis pass back, wasn't it?
Yeah,
to me,
a hospital pass, maybe. Yeah, but it feels like, given that you did the blog, you should take them through it. But I'm happy to.
Okay, all right. Well, if you want to read as well this content, well, do check out blog.blackcurve.com. One of our most recent podcasts actually takes you through the free listings feature of Google. But if you're sticking with us on the podcast, I shall take you through it today and now, so you don't have to go and mess your eyeballs up. You can just get your ears in gear for it. So, effectively, Google Shopping, in order to appear on Google Shopping, you need to have a Google merchant account. So, effectively, this is Google's administrative area where you tell Google what products you are selling on your website. And it's quite a smart feature, I guess, from Google. So, you know, if you think about on search and a standard search, they've got to go away, spend lots of effort and energy scraping your website, trying to work out what on earth is on that website, and then surfacing it to users, to consumers based on search terms. So what they've basically done from a shopping perspective is almost short-circuited that, if you will. So they've relied on you to tell them what's on your website by providing a feed of product name, description, imagery, and so forth. And then it means that it's a lot quicker, a lot faster. I'm sure it's a lot cheaper for Google as well. If you think about processing to collate all that information and then surface it to consumers, Joe Public, whoever might be interested in your products within the shopping component of Google. So there's a number of tabs that you'll see when you're inside Google. There's images, maps, shopping, and a whole host of others. The screenshot I'm looking at just says more very helpfully now. But there's tons of bits and pieces under those, and one of those is shopping. Now, before I go into shopping will appear inside just the general sort of google.com or whichever country you're coming at Google from, but it will also appear in things like YouTube, for example. Shopping actually also appears inside image results as well, as well as a number of the other areas that Google offers. Okay. In order to, you know, just to go through some of the requirements, in order to appear inside Google Shopping, you first of all you've submitted your Google feed. You need to opt in to that free listing. So you need to actually give them your feed and then say, "Yep, I'm happy for my products to appear in multiple locations." And we touched upon this last
for those long-term listeners of the show, this is the new GTIN for Philip.
so not only have you need to make sure you've got your GTIN, quite a simple thing, tick that box, people, to say that you are happy that
you can tell who guides most of our customers through sign up, can't you?
So it's such a simple thing that a lot of people forget, and our free tool also flags this to you. So if you've got 0% visibility on Google Shopping or very poor visibility on Google Shopping, a lot of the time it's down to this simple. If it's not GTINs, it's down to the fact that you've not mm-hmm. ticked this box. So I've kind of that's sort of a bit of a refresh on how you get, you know, visible, I guess, in the Google Shopping ecosystem. Let me now answer the exam question that I was asked. Where do prices appear inside Google Shopping? So once a user has searched for a particular product, so the one that in the blog post that we refer to is a Samsung 32-inch HD LED TV. I won't read the full code. It's got about 25 digits in, but it's UE32 and then a whole load of other digits. The example that we've got.
Love a SKU code.
We do. You know, I think we've got bingo. You can certainly do a good bingo game with SKU codes, couldn't we? See who remembers them or who can name that SKU. But anyway, the price will appear once you've searched for that particular product. You will have the paid banner at the top, so the advertised banner where you're effectively bidding for positions, and you're paying Google to get that position, the right position in the carousel at the top. That's the first place that your price will appear. The second place that your price will appear is underneath that organic fold, if you will. There is the relevant search results, the organic search results that Google surfaces to users when they search for a particular term. So if you appear as an individual tile within that, okay, you will see a picture of your product, and then you will see the competitor name, hopefully it's your name, and then you will see a price in that tile. So it's almost like I don't know if you've hung around in Pinterest or if you're not familiar with Google Shopping, I'm trying to think of another good example, but think of sort of almost like a bathroom wall with a load of tiles on the wall. That's your products are all displayed in a grid type format. The next place that your price will appear is you might notice on that page there's a compare X prices hyperlink. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it might say compare 5 prices, 10 prices, 20 prices, whatever it might be. Or it's generally sort of 10 plus if it's more than 10, or 5 plus if it's more than 5. You click that, and then that then takes you to a secondary page. And what that page does is it would have your product at the top, the product name at the top, and then it will list all the competitors that are selling this product. And then alongside that, it will display a item price, which is the price of your product, X delivery. And then it will show a total price, which is the price of your product, typically including delivery. Sometimes those prices are the same if you're offering free delivery, or generally speaking, if it's a large product, most people consume the price of the product inside the delivery cost. And they're really the main places that you will appear. Mm-hmm. I don't know, have I missed anything, Rob? Was that
the only bit you've missed is that carousel crops up all over the place. It kind of pops up in the organic search as well. So, you know, the Google, if I type in what I just did, linen suit, the first thing I get is that sponsored carousel across the top, the same one you were talking about in that shopping page. So, and that also can appear kind of in YouTube and other Google-owned entities. I think that's the only thing you've really...
Yeah, and I mean, the new one for me that actually hadn't quite appreciated until a few months ago is that that you also appear inside images, which I didn't I didn't actually realize till quite recently. So you know, and that's why, you know, you'd be surprised at when people are searching for things, when they're looking in different areas, if you can get that visibility of the product.
You know, this is how I know I'm a boomer. Like, I was hanging out with someone, and my other half has this like, it's effectively a beach roll mat. I don't know where she found it, but bright and stony and the rest of it. And
I thought you were going to say she nicked it.
She found it. No, paid for it, but they're really hard to come by. There's like one shop that we found that sells them online, and a couple of friends have bought them, but. And we were saying something, oh, we'll find out where we get it from. And she's like, no worries, I'll just Google image search it. And I was like, oh yeah, because you can do that now. I just don't, it's not like in my DNA. But yeah, that's another place where it just kind of just like appears and can come up, right? All over.
And so, I mean, in the last podcast, we spoke around visibility. So I'm just conscious that I don't want to go too much into it, but I hope if you haven't listened to the previous podcast, you know, the summary of that was really make sure you've ticked the free listing feature, but also make sure that you've given Google all the data that it's requested. So make sure you've given Google an image, make sure you've given Google a GTIN, a product name, make sure you've got your GTIN correct. Because ultimately, if you haven't given this information, you won't appear when somebody does an image search. You won't appear when someone does a Google shopping search. You won't appear in YouTube when somebody might be searching for a Samsung TV. You know, so it's really critical. And it's as simple as, if people can't find you, they're not going to buy from you. And so you've spent all that effort and energy in mm-hmm. other parts of your business to optimize it, and you're falling at the last hurdle. Okay. Now, let's talk about cracking the code of pricing within Google Shopping, shall we? So we're kind of starting to open a bit of a Pandora's box. There's many different directions that we can go here. Where would you like to go first, Rob, from a pricing point of view? Do you think it's worth sort of setting the scene on?
Yeah, I'll pull right up and talk about kind of, I guess, our belief and where pricing fits in a digital buying journey, because I think that's really the most important, and the rest of them are kind of more mechanical. But so we, Black Curve, we work largely in the branded goods space. And I think we largely have come to the conclusion that price, a kind of demand for branded goods kind of exists in the marketplace. And changing the price, it might change demand a bit, but by and large, there isn't enough wiggle room to kind of do the same in your kind of classic price elasticity things calculation. So what that means in practice is that if I'm buying something, I usually know what I want. So in this case, I want a linen suit, and then I'm going to use brand as kind of, price as part of narrowing down where I'm going on that conversion journey. So I know I want to buy a linen suit. Why? Top of funnel, I come in, I see two or three I like, and then price becomes a determining factor in that choice. So if we then take it into branded goods, say I'm buying a new fridge freezer, I know the brand I want is Miele, say. I know the model I want. Who do I buy it from? That's when price then becomes a determining factor. So for me, the importance on price on Google Shopping comes effectively because it's a marketplace and you are lined up against everyone else in the marketplace. That's it at a top level. You don't necessarily have to be the cheapest, because there are other reasons why you may be able to differentiate. But realistically, if your price isn't in the range of everyone else's, people aren't going to buy from you and it's not going to convert, because you are ranked against effectively everyone else there. So that for me, first and foremost, is why price is kind of most important.
And that buying journey, if you analyze any of your search data and you speak to your digital marketing agency, is very common, and it's exceptionally common inside branded goods. You know, if you're doing, you know, to stick with the example of a TV, right? You know, you need a new TV. Say at Christmas, I had annoyingly that TV broke before Christmas, and I'd managed to get away with buying a TV for 10 years, right, or something. So you start with your generic search of, you know, I need a TV, and then you work out what your budget is.
Best
TVs under £1,000 or whatever it is, and you know best TVs 50-inch under £1,000, and you kind of drill down this way. And then finally, actually, invariably, you end up with, I know in my particular case, it was, I want a Sony Bravia, I can't remember mm-hmm. the code, but whatever it was, right? And then you are searching Google Shopping for that particular code, and your intent, the conversion on those terms is so much better, okay? And therefore, if you know what product you want, you're then typically, you know, what are the deciding factor? Okay, there's a whole host of them, and we're not going to necessarily cover them today. But it's like, how well do I know that brand? How well do I trust it? How many reviews have I got? How much is it free delivery? When can I get it for me, actually? Because I needed it before Christmas. Yeah. But you know, realistically, price and certainly. You know, I found when I was looking at TVs, and I've bought a Hoover recently, and a few other larger purchases, trainers, last podcast episode purchase, right? You know, there's huge swings in price. You know, from the trainers, it was £50 for me, you know, and then on £150 pair of trainers, that's
That's huge.
That's a third. That's massive. TV, you know, the Sony Bravia, I think I ended up spending 700 quid for it, right? Somebody was selling that same TV for $2,000. You know, they're not going to get the conversion. You know, no matter if it's John Lewis, I'm not going to spend £1,300 more because it's from John Lewis, right? Okay, whereas I can get it.
adding new meaning to never knowingly understand. Yeah,
exactly. You know, so I'm just, you know, there are, that this is where price really starts to become important. Now, you will notice that when you click through into Google Shopping, what Google does is it affects it. You know, when you do click that Compare X Shops link and it takes you through to that table, you know, it might present 5 retailers, 10 retailers, it might present it across multiple pages. What you will notice is the cheapest is not always at the top. So Google is not actually saying, well, we're always going to say the cheapest is the best result, the most relevant result, because Google is using loads of things to determine relevancy. You know, one of the main ones will probably be things like traffic, website traffic, to determine, you know, how popular this website is, therefore, because they ultimately want to surface the best result to the end consumer, that the end consumer is going to be happiest and the end consumer is going to buy from it. So in turn, if lots of people are going to, say, I don't know, John Lewis or Argos all the time, it makes sense to all generally surface those at the top, whereas some random appliance company that is in from some distant part of the country that has only got sort of 10 views each month, you know, you're not going to get as high a position. However, you can use some data points like price to, if you don't have as good visibility, to drive that position up inside the
Yeah, I mean, that's worth dwelling on, right? Because Google, this part of Google anyway, the bit that makes all the money in Google, is advertising. And the reason they make money is because it converts. So as fancy as their algorithms are, what their core drive is to put products in front of people that they will buy, right, to maximize conversion. So any headwinds that you add will mean that they're less likely to do that, right? Or it will cost you more money in advertising spend to do it, whichever way you want to think about it. Because Google's prime directive really is to sell. And so they're going to put stuff that they think people are more likely to buy, right? That is, it's quite, no, it's not really like the mechanics is complicated, but the root drive is very simple, I think.
Yeah, no, I don't know whether it's worth talking about now the theory behind being too expensive or too cheap, or whether it's worth introducing that at a later date, but maybe because I've mentioned it, we should already talk about it.
I think it's probably worth saying that just in briefly, because it's what our free product will flag to you as well, is that you just have to be within range, right? Like of the market. You only really get punished if you're too expensive because you lose conversion, and too cheap because you're losing margin, right? You don't want to be, I think this is something that people often forget, you don't want to be the cheapest in the market by a substantial amount, because people are still going to buy the product, really, and it's unlikely that that's creating more demand than already existed for the branded goods. So what's really happening is that you're sacrificing that difference between you and a competitor in terms of margin. That's not to say where some products where that price point may just be some kind of magic line and kicks it off, but largely in branded goods, we don't see that existing. So really what you want to do is close your price point to be within the market, the range of the market. And in that way as well, that will, we know that like price is a feature of Google's algorithms, especially certainly the advertising ones, and that will mean that you're playing nice. So you're not getting punished being too expensive, either by people not converting, or either Google not displaying you as prominently or charging you more to be displayed prominently. And then also you're not losing margin or leaving it on the table.
Yeah, I mean, Google typically, from our analysis, uses what they refer to as benchmark price. So it's the, you know, average price. It's a glamorous way of saying the average market price for that particular product. So your relevancy, you know, your position, one of the data points that determines your position in that table when you're being shown to somebody who searched for that product is the difference between your price and the average price. Okay, so, you know, therefore, you know, sure, absolutely, if you're cheaper than that, you are likely to get a higher position. But as Rob has alluded to, you're probably giving away, you know, Google's not rewarding you for being massively cheaper. You're giving away margin in that sale when you don't have to, right? And we see it time and time again where it's death by a thousand cuts, right? You might say, well, I'm only £5 cheaper, or I'm only £10 cheaper, but if you're selling thousands of those units or even hundreds of those units, it does start to add up quite quickly. So at the very least, we recommend you bridging that gap to the next lowest competitor, or even getting it closer to the benchmark, the average benchmark, if you're cheaper, and monitoring the sales. But on the flip side, at least when you're cheaper, typically you would be selling that product and you'd be getting revenue from that product. Okay. On the flip side, if you're the most expensive, you know, and barring some miracle that you've got wonderful data in every single other aspect of your business, you're likely to be bang smack at the bottom of the table, maybe even on the second page if there's more than 10 retailers, and the drop off on that is huge. Okay. The analysis shows that actually if you're not in the first 3-4 results of Google Shopping, you typically won't convert anyway. Okay. So if it's a branded good that's readily available in lots of places and you're massively more expensive than everyone else, it's almost like it's almost worth not even displaying that product, because unless that consumer loves you, unless that consumer just always goes directly to your website and is almost horse blinkered, never looks at other retailers, you know, or unless, I don't know, you're an online retailer but you just happen to have a retail store down the road, so it's just convenient to pop in and pick it up because you want it there and then, you know, all those sort of use cases aside, you're very unlikely to convert on that product.
So I don't know whether that was intentional or not, but that was a very, very good segue into, I guess...
I'm going to say it's intentional, but I have no idea what you're going to say. So
yeah, exactly. I didn't think it was. So, like, we're a pricing data supplier, right? And we sell both to merchants and advertisers. And what you're talking about there is actually another way that pricing is really important in Google Shopping, which is informing your advertising strategy. So we have a number of advertisers that we work with who have a large amount of success, not using pricing data to change price, but where to dial up and dial down the amount you're spending on a product. And so to go back to your example, if you know you're expensive, but you can't change the price for whatever reason, what you can do is test reducing the ad spend, which if you think about it, actually increases the margin on that product for a sale, and see if that makes a difference to the conversion, right? If it stays the same, happy days, well, less happy days in some sense, not in others, but you know, you don't have to spend that ad spend anymore. So that's another way where price is actually really, really important, is that you can use the price information from Google Shopping to inform how you're spending money within that ecosystem. Is this likely to convert or is it unlikely to convert? And that just comes down to where you are positioned against that benchmark price again. We've got a data feed that you get if you buy the starter version that will tell you that, right? It will tell you, am I the most expensive? Am I the cheapest? Am I at market? Am I in between? And then you can build strategies based off that. People use basically the tags or the custom columns in Merchant Center to label their products, and then they go off and then they build that and fold that into their bidding strategies. And that works really well. And it's another way where, not from a display perspective, but from a insights perspective, that price is super important in Google Shopping.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, well, I've been coming at it from a pure pricing perspective, but it's how can, if you can't change the price of the product, it's how can you therefore use it to your advantage. I mean, it's not uncommon for retailers to be spending thousands and thousands of pounds a month, even small retailers with Google. So, you know, if you've got certain products in your inventory that you can't change the price on, and you know you're really expensive, and it's branded goods and it's readily available, set up your Google ads so that you don't bid on those products and go and spend and the would, money where you.
I'd really, really like. Stressed it's worth testing this. The improvements we've seen are actually pretty terrifying in terms of applicability. And just to like hammer home, there's actually there's no risk to you trying it. You can go and spin up a site, you get a 14-day trial, you can send these insights straight to a Google Sheet or download it or whatever you want. And then, or push it back into Merchant Center, and then you're away. And we've done a couple of case studies in the past, and depending on the advertising strategy, it kind of changes the metrics. But the ROI shift is pretty mad. Just really from being a bit smarter in how you allocate your spend and what that then means in terms of impressions and conversion, because. What you're doing really is just making sure that the ads you're serving are more relevant, so people are more likely to buy, so your conversion goes up. Really, it's that simple.
So in industries where there's a lot of, I'm going to say flatness from a pricing perspective, I don't know whether that's the right term, or where a lot of the products are typically sticking to RRP and there's not much change in price, this is unlikely to work for, right? So we had, you know, actually yesterday we had someone trial our product that they were selling fashion products that were available in, you know, lots of different high street retailers. But actually, in every single location, pretty much, it was the same price that was being communicated. Okay, which is I don't know, that supply has done very well, or rather, you know, that these products clearly hold their value very well, right? And so if everyone's selling the products at the same price, you know, you can't compete on price. You've got to look to compete on other areas, and using price in your advertising strategy is unlikely to give you that benefit. But if you see lots of variation, lots of competitors, lots of different prices for your products, then this is absolutely going to work really well for you. Adjusting your price and then seeing if it can optimize your ad spend off the back of it. So
yes, I guess the un-PC way of saying it is it probably depends on how aggressively the supplier is policing the marketplace.
No comments.
Exactly.
Before we get into trouble. Although we did actually cover this on a previous podcast.
It's problematic, but aside from like triggering investigations from the market competition authority or whatever they're called, there's not much you can do, is there? Like, so if they say, well, we're not going to sell it to you if you're mess about the price too much, that is what it is. But yeah, I mean, it's your point's completely valid. Like, if price is a lever in your space, like there's lots of discounting, so things like white goods, electronics, all that stuff, it'll work really well. Fashion and price is a tricky one, and probably do a whole episode on the mentalness of price strategies in fashion and the waste that generates. So we won't go down that rabbit hole, but like fashion pricing, people in fashion tend to be taught a specific way of pricing in terms of sales cycle and all the rest of it, and that is still true today, unfortunately. So you tend to find that people rather than kind of pricing competitively, they'll discount at a certain rate through a season. And that means that because they're all basically applying the same theory, even if they're not fixing the market, it just means that something banged upstairs. It just means that their kind of prices stay about the same rate, is what it is.
So how can people find out if their prices are competitive or not? I think
that's a very good question
already. So where do they need to go?
Well, they should go to blackcurve.com/free. our fancy landing page that I've mentioned before. But yeah, it's super easy. So if you are, well, there's a couple of things. You can go to blackcover.com/free. You can set up a site, and then you can either connect Merchant Center or upload a file, and that will get you going. Or if you're on Shopify, just go to the App Store and search for Blackcover or dynamic pricing or competitor pricing, any of that, and we'll turn up. And then just click and install the app. And what we'll then do is we'll load your products in. We'll go off, we'll find them on, we'll search Google for them, we'll find them, we'll check that we can find them if we can match them. And then we'll effectively generate a dashboard for you and tell you how competitive we think you are. And the same, how we mentioned last week, whether your products are visible or not, and highlight any problems that you have in your data. So super straightforward, really, really easy.
And what we're basically doing is we're taking your inventory and we're going out to Google and we're saying, give me all the products, give me all the competitors that are selling these products. And because it's a free version, okay, we're not giving all the crown jewels away. It's important to say, but we do give you a price competitive score. So this is from, you know, handily it's a percentage. It's from 0 to 100. And, you know, if you've got, generally, we say from a pricing perspective, if you've got a score of, actually, if you're selling branded goods, you need to have a score of 90% or more, I would say, to be considered that you are priced competitive. If you've got a mix of own brand and branded goods, you can probably have a score that's slightly lower than that. But really what you're looking to do is you're looking to achieve a score of 90% or more. If you've got a score of less than that, you've got some work to do. And this is driven really around where you have products that are far too cheap, but primarily where you've got products that are a lot more expensive against your competition. Okay, so we will give you that score, but also actually we will also tell you which products it relates to, and we do actually also start to recommend a direction of price change, so whether or not you should increase the price or decrease the price, and we tell you how much you should decrease it by or increase it by. Mm-hmm. And what we don't do, you've got to give us some money for this, I'm afraid. So or you can trial for 14 days a paid plan. The paid plan, which is our starter edition, basically also gives you that next level down of data, so it will actually give you what competitors are selling that product for and their price point, so you can start to
make because that's just to jump in on that, that's something we're not talking about today, but what you tend to find is, okay, so I'm uncompetitive on these products, but these, I don't view these people as my competition, so how do I change that? And you need to get into the starter really to kind of get that level of control over it.
Yeah, because I mean, in every industry, you'll find that people are, you've always got, you know, random people cropping up that, you know, you've got an inventory of 10,000 products and they're only selling one product that you've got, and they've probably got very low stock and they've come in and just chanced it and undercut the price, right? So we're not saying, you know, there's no point following them down, let them sell that product and keep your price. And so what like our starter edition does, it allows you to be more granular. But I guess from a stepping stone perspective, the free version is really opening up your eyes to, do I have a pricing problem here? Yes or no? To what degree do I have a pricing problem? Am I north of 90%, or am I significantly lower than that? And which products does it refer to? And it almost sort of helping you assess that from a very high level. And then if you do have a challenge, it's okay, right, now I need to enact this a bit more. I might need to do a bit more granular analysis and move up to a paid version to do that. But it's giving you that window, a bit more transparency into how does Google perceive me from a pricing perspective? Does Google perceive me as having quote unquote relevant pricing? So therefore, I'm going to give you a good position inside Google Shopping, or do I see you as a what the hell are you doing from your pricing perspective? I'm not gonna give you the time of day that you deserve. Cool. So I think we've covered a lot. Was there anything else, Rob, you wanted to add for today, or shall I summarize?
No, not really. I just kind of hammer home what you said. I think that competitive score is really important, and if in terms of benchmarks, you're right, like in branded goods, most of the people we work with who also have automatic repricing on, which will keep them in range, are well north of like 90%. So like almost towards 95%. And the 5%, they won't be a products where like there are specific market conditions or business conditions that mean they can't be price competitive on those products. So it's like a very, very practical and very useful thing that you should probably be checking. Well, certainly monthly, if not weekly.
That's and if it's uber competitive, you daily and with price automation.
Or, I mean, if it's uber competitive, you should be automating it, and then you don't have to worry about it.
Absolutely. So just in summary, then today we've been looking at cracking the code of Google Shopping pricing in branded goods. People are searching with a lot of intent to make that purchase. So the more granular their search term becomes, the more specific their search term becomes to a particular product, they're at that point of wanting to make a purchase, wanting to check out. There's been numerous studies of how much price drives conversion. You know, the one that's touted most is the PwC study that was 59% of purchases are driven by price. In branded goods, it's probably a lot more high than that. And our data sort of indicates that it is a lot more higher than that. People, especially in today's day and age, are making their decisions based on price. Now, Google doesn't necessarily always say the cheapest is going to be at the top. There's a top of the search results. There's a number of drivers that do indicate that. However, what they do use to determine your position is the market average price, or what they refer to as the benchmark price. Therefore, what we recommend that you do is you assess your position against that benchmark price to determine, do I have a price competitiveness problem inside Google Shopping, and is that potentially harming my conversion inside Google Shopping? We're less worried about if you are cheap, because you will just naturally have a good position against the benchmark price. However, I would encourage you to look at that, because likelihood is that you're giving away margin. You don't need to, because your visibility is determined by your difference to the benchmark price, the average price. So there's probably where you are the cheapest in the market. I would want to assess how cheap I am, and do I have scope to increase the price. What we're really concerned about is what products you're a lot more expensive than the market average, because as a brand, from a branded good perspective, you're unlikely to convert on those products if they're readily available in multiple locations. And there's an argument to say that you shouldn't probably have them even listed on your website. If there's good reason for you to have them on your listed on your website, we touched upon earlier, if you are spending money on Google Ads and using an automated method such as Performance Max, which is most people are using, connect up a tool like Black Curve to your ads ecosystem to enable you to turn off bidding on those products where you're a lot more expensive, because that will just, you're just throwing money after bad, and you're unlikely to convert on those products. In summary, if you want to find out how competitive your products are, because you know, you don't have a scent, you've got a huge SKU count, you haven't necessarily looked at your entire SKU count, or you haven't looked at pricing recently, we've got a great product for you, blackcurve.com/free. Go and check it out, or go to the Shopify app store, spin up an instance of Black Curve. Have I mentioned it's free? And we will give you a price competitiveness score out of 100 and say, do I have an issue or not? And is pricing hampering my conversion? You want to aim for a score of north of 90%. Even if you have got a score of north 90%, if it's not 100%, I would argue that you've got a problem. We had one the other day that scored 93%, but they had an inventory of 10,000 products. So 7% is still quite a lot of products that you're not converting on, because you know you're too expensive on. So check out blackcurve.com/free, spin up a site, and it's free for life. Okay. And that will stay with you, and it will also track your performance over time in terms of how well you've improved your price competitiveness. So thank you very much, Rob. We've been Black Curve. This has been E-commerce Matters, the world's leading e-commerce pricing podcast. Until next time, happy pricing.